It was the year of deep geeking.
The year of Feedbackapalooza.
The year we discussed our favorite show.
It was the year without Zima.
The year of great tequila.
The year of puns.
And a year of more interviews.
It was a new chance for fun.
It was the end of the series.
It was the year we made it to Crusade.
The year is 2009. The show, Babylon Podcast.
And welcome back to another Babylon Podcast. I am Summer Brooks.
I'm Tim Callender.
And Jeffrey is on a plane somewhere, I think, to another project.
He said he couldn't be here because it was all mystery.
This entire show is mystery.
But the mystery will be revealed, we promise.
Yes, the mystery will be revealed. Speaking of mysteries, the contest for the Chronologies book giveaway.
Yeah.
How'd
that turn out?
I had expected to get a handful of emails with maybe a couple of wrong guesses in them. As of 10 o'clock a.m., March 4th, 2009, I didn't get any entries at all.
You're kidding.
Not a one.
No?
Zero entries. So either everybody already has a Chronologies book, or this was way, way too hard a contest.
All right. Wow.
Not one single entry. Not one.
Okay.
And I know we announced it on the live feed 2 weeks ago, and it was in the post for the past, you know, two shows.
Yeah.
So, but not, zero entries for the past 2 weeks.
Okay, should we let it run for another week?
I'm going to let it run for another 2 weeks.
Okay. Otherwise, please email the show and let us know if you were considering entering and didn't because it was too hard, or you considered entering and didn't because you already got a Chronology. So that at least helps us understand
True. The
mystery. Wow, zero.
Yeah, I mean, and literally,
maybe there's nobody listening.
Literally, yeah, no one's listening to this show. Literally, there's only one voice.
I think that's closer to the truth, actually. But hey, that's just me.
Hey, the downloads speak otherwise. But there's one voice in there.
It's a bot.
There's one voice in there. No, it's not a bot. This is every voice in there can be heard somewhere in the Farpoint Media universe.
Yes.
Seven of those voices are here on this show. I just gave you a big hint, people.
Yep.
Come on. Two of the voices you know from other staple Farpoint Media shows.
Yep.
Three. And then that last straggler voice is someone you can find on a very popular series of shows if you know where to look. And I'm going to tell you, literally,
at the very least, people, you should get three of the voices on there.
Oh, yeah, I'd hope so. You should be able to get five of them.
I know.
You know?
I know.
So, yeah, I would like to know if it's just for the fact that people already have the Chronology and they don't need a copy, or if that was really, really harder, like way too hard for a 2 week time frame.
Yeah.
So,
Let it run for a little bit longer here. So.
Yes. Okay, email your complaints to babylonpodcast@gmail.com and email your contest entries to contest@sliceofscifi.com. And, that's all I have to gripe about for today. So,
well, since we're dealing with gripes, let me drop this one out to you. This comes from the JMS News Group. You ready? So what the great maker writes. Because so much of the Forbidden Planet screenplay was leaked out, Warners and I have decided to chuck the screenplay in its entirety and start over.
Mm-hmm.
This is the direct result of the leaks that showed up on the nets, including detailed script reviews of a project that was barely a week old and which would effectively destroy any anticipation of the movie, because by the time it finally reached the screen in 2010 or thereabouts, the story would be old news. So we're starting fresh and we're going to keep a tight lid on the script this time. So to the sites that say, where's the harm? It's not like they're going to toss out the script because we blew the contents of same all over the nets. Well, yes, that's exactly what it's like, and it's precisely your responsibility that a year's worth of work was destroyed. So we start anew with a determined hope that the next draft will be even better and far more secure than the last one.
Yeah, the amazing thing about that I saw about that post was the fact that it included notes from a pre-production meeting or something. Right. So somebody in that meeting leaked that script, and that person should be fired. Period. End of statement. Even if it's that person's, you know, personal assistant or the whoever cleaned up the room after, somebody had a copy of that script and said, "Ooh, looky what I have." They should be fired, plain and simple.
I imagine that's probably already happened.
I would hope so. I would hope they were fired.
Back on one of the Trek movies, I want to say it was Search for Spock. The writers and the production team made up a bunch of dummy scripts and basically planted them around to help them plug leaks because they could see, oh, well, this plot point was leaked out. We know it's from dummy script number 23. Who had dummy script number 23? So-and-so. Okay.
Yeah. So I don't know what you do about that, but hopefully they are taking greater steps. I don't know. Maybe it's time to, you know, have an intern write up a few dummy scripts and plug, you know, send them out to as decoys. That said, now that they've actually scrapped the original script, I'd like to read it.
That's exactly
Is that hypocritical of me?
Too.
Is that hypocritical of me? I mean, they've thrown it out. I want to read it now.
Yeah, because that's exactly what I thought too. When I read this, it's like, oh, now where do I find this?
So I if they ever, you know how they print out screenplays of the movies in like printed format in the bookstores?
Yes.
If they ever print one for the version that comes out, I would hope they'd include the version that they had to abandon because of this incident. But, oh, well.
Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Well, that's it for the griping session.
That is it for the griping session. So now we're going to make everybody happy by heading right into the secret reveal or the revealing secret.
Ooh.
This is an update from GSG, the Geek Survival Guide. Today's tip: the wise geek will follow his own advice. For example, if you find yourself on a tropical island inhabited by, previously extinct genetically engineered velociraptors, as an example, you may find it necessary to warn others not to go into, say, long grass, where the raptors would be able to hunt them with ease. However, the wise geek will deliver his warning without running himself directly into the long grass. For more geek survival tips and advice, visit the Geek Survival Guide at gsguide.blogspot.com or search for us via iTunes. We now return you to your regularly scheduled program, Already in Progress.
We're back on the Babylon Podcast with our special secret reveal. Or is it reveal secret or secret reveal? Which one is it?
It's the revealing secret.
Excellent. We have the masterminds of the Babylon 5 scripts team here. Captain Jacqueline is here with Jason Davis and Amy Guskin to reveal to the Babylon 5 fandom, first and foremost, right here, right now, what the new set of books are.
Is that a statement or a question?
I'm opening the door. It's.
I'm going to turn the tables on you.
Oh, no.
How's that? So what I will first, the first piece that I will reveal is that a sliver of these volumes were printed out and couriered to you by secret messenger and received last few days ago.
Yes, they were.
Because we thought that hearing about it wasn't really going to explain what it was as well as you're actually getting a chance to see it. And what you saw were five sample finished pages, so you understood what it looked like. And then you had 200 pages out of thousands that we used to draw the material from. So based on that, I am going to ask you to say what this project is.
Well, the title of the book is Asked and Answered. J. Michael Straczynski answers thousands of fan questions about Babylon 5. And it literally is a compendium of questions and answers. And I just to cause a little bit of trouble here, I actually like the table layout better.
Oh, no, that's okay. It's going to be in the... Thanks, Summer. It will actually be in a layout more similar. It's changed again.
Okay, cool.
We're trying to keep the same amount of content and get the volume count down.
Awesome.
Well, Captain Jacqueline, there's a lot of content here.
Uh-huh.
So I guess the first question is obvious. What strain of space madness did you guys come down with to decide to do this thing?
It actually was decided 3 years ago in 2006, that is how long it has taken to put these together. So what we did is we had to go online and scour every bulletin board that or chat session that JMS has done in the last 17 years, or 18 technically. He first posted in November, let's say 1961, very funny, November 1991.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in 61. I tend to get the two confused. But anyway, so we had to first go and find all of this to build the database. And we asked Jan Schroeder to please do that for us. And took her a couple of months just to get the data. And then we had at that point over 2,000 entries in this database. Did I say 2,000? Forgive me. 20,000 plus entries in this database. And at this point, we had gleaned from the AOL bulletin boards, the Genie forums, of course, the moderated Usenet group is a bulk of it as well, the CompuServe discussion boards, the chat transcripts, and it was all put into this. And it took her about a year and a half just to get what we call the first fillet, which was to go through and get rid of anything that was a fan interaction that was either very timely, next week I'm, you know, be at such and such a convention, that didn't really have any value, or things that didn't actually pertain to Babylon 5, maybe comic book related and so forth. And so the question was, what made you decide to do this? What made us decide to do it was my understanding, I was that it was, nobody had ever given fans what J. Michael Straczynski has given them, and what he gave them in retrospect was a real-time history, oral history, of every aspect of Babylon 5. And to not have that in a form that people could sit down and curl up with, to me, was a travesty. That and the fact that my biggest concern at this point is that these are being housed and could disappear tomorrow. These other sources, they could just go away. One of the most famous ones, one of the biggest databases, that's run by an individual who's kind enough to do it. What if he runs off to Australia tomorrow and decides that's it? Then we lose the legacy. So it was about making sure that we could do it in a way that was a much better experience than most people have when they go to some of these archives, like I said, on AOL, or if they have access to the archives of the Genie forums, which is what you guys had the privilege of seeing. You know, it's one thing to see some of these interactions in chronological order, but they really don't have any meaning until you can categorize them. And so that was the second reason why I thought that this was a really, really important document for fans to have. And Summer and Tim, I'd like your feedback on, it's one thing to read Jakar entries over the years. It's another to now see them all in one place, although I don't think you had Jakar in that. I think you had to Len. Is that correct?
We had a little of both.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I think one of the thing that struck me most about it, Jacqueline, is how it's a counterpoint to all the introductions in the script books that JMS had written. And those introductions have the benefit of hindsight. And, you know, obviously very well written, don't get me wrong, but like you mentioned, this is a real-time thing. So, you know, Jakar is the obvious when the character was originally named Jakar with a J.
Right.
Some of those changes, but even to go through and see some of the characters that were considered but never materialized, there's a couple mentions I noticed of an older Hispanic doctor that was going to be a foil for Stephen Franklin.
Major Atumbe.
Sorry?
Major Atumbe was another one.
Right, right. Episode titles, even. You know, here's a sample of episode titles for year two. The Customer is Always Right. The Very Long Night of Susan Ivanova. You know, and I can't even make any parallels of what those stories might have turned into that we ended up seeing. So it's just a real fascinating glimpse of the process as it was happening.
Yeah, you just nailed a point that I was hoping would be obvious once, even though you guys have only seen a fraction of it, and that is that there's no revisionism here. Nothing has been forgotten. No detail's been spared because, as you just pointed out, Tim, these were questions being answered at the time that they were coming up. I'm hoping also that you guys, in the sample that we sent, because for legal purposes we couldn't send you more than a couple hundred pages, that we... And Amy will. I want Amy to talk and Jason to talk about this too. But we don't. It's really uncensored. I mean, if a fan asked a question, or more appropriately, made the statement, and this is an example of one of the statements that fans make that J. Michael Straczynski addresses. The fan said, "It's ludicrous that Sinclair, who should be running the station, is out picking up every derelict ship that strays into B5 space. Next to being mopping the floor, serving drinks in Earhart's, and repairing the docking bay arms, et cetera, et cetera." So the point being that even if, uncensored in the sense that even if his response, even if the fans' statements have an edge, or J. Michael Straczynski's responses have an edge, they're all there.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the other thing that struck me too. Reading some of these posts is, you know, I generally believe that Babylon 5 fans are very intelligent, very smart, very understanding. But man, there are some posts in there that you have to classify some questions as being moronic.
Oh, I would love an example.
Well, you know, there's the one that immediately pops to mind was one about Catherine Sakai, and
oh, yeah.
The poster was, "Oh, here's another Asian American female who's just a love interest for the Caucasian, you know, lead character," and you know, basically accusing Straczynski of kind of vaguely veiled references to racism.
Sure, sure. Yeah.
And that's not the only one. There are a handful of them in there like that. It's like,
And that authenticity is really important to J. Michael Straczynski. That's why they were only the decision about what was going to be included and not be included was based only on whether or not the question and the answer were still relevant today. That was the only criteria, and that's what we mean by uncensored. But I do want to introduce the two other people who are on the call with us, if I can, the podcast, because they were Jan Schroeder, again, another shout out. This is a woman who spent a year and a half of her life going through 20,000 plus. You know, entries to do that initial fillet. We could never have done it without her. She was critical to this. And then there are two other people who have been also critical, and the first is Amy Guskin, who was, we had to go to Amy when this book came up because Amy has been moderating the moderated Usenet group, which I always forget the exact title, so I just say moderated B5 blah blah. And she has been doing this now. How many years, Amy? 12 years?
No, I don't know how long I've been moderating. Just a couple of years. But, I mean, I've been on the news group for ages, and I read it several times a day, every day, which is why I decided I really ought to be moderating since I'm there all the time.
Yeah, and Amy was had the overwhelming job of being the first one to start with the categorization of how everything was going to be put together. And she spent a month. She worked on it so hard, she actually injured herself and now has to have surgery.
Next week. So what there's actual fan blood, sweat, and tears in this project. You should know.
Well,
I would love for Amy to talk a little bit about her criteria and the categories and some of the decisions she made before we step over to Jason and talk about his
contribution. Yeah, I would love to. Actually, I wanted to jump right on something Jacqueline said about the relevance of this. First, I have to preface it by saying that I've been thinking about this project, obviously, nonstop for quite some time. I think you almost have to call it the holy grail of canon, because for all those questions you have, like, is this canon, is that canon, is this wrong, is this right, these are your answers. The answers are in these books. So I think that's something that's really important to fans of Babylon 5, because unlike any other show, canon is just paramount because of the continuity issues. So I think that's really important. But the relevancy question, it's so funny. As I was starting the project, I was making some categories before I had even looked at one entry from the database, because I know these things, because I've been there so long, and I moderate these people, and I knew that people were going to bring up aspect ratio, and I knew that they were going to bring up, why did Michael O'Hare leave, and gravity, and the CNC, and are you sure that the launch sequence for the Star Furies is correct? So I'm setting up these categories, and I'm thinking to myself how funny it is that some people are still talking about some of these things. Well, I have to tell you that 5 minutes before I got on this call, I was on the news group, and somebody was still talking in 2009 about why Michael O'Hare left. And not just talking about it, people were debating this like it's still a question. So obviously people need this book. Tonight, 2009, March, talking about something that happened in what, 1993, 1994?
Yeah, 94, right.
Yeah, so I think that's really awesome and amazing that people are still hashing out these same things. And I mean, not even things like that, there really is an answer, and the answer is what it is, but questions that are speculative, like gravity and the CNC. And all your answers are right there. I mean, he really thought these things out and has answers to, I think, anything anyone could ask. And they're all in those books.
And also one thing I'd like to add to what Amy has just said, and I'm sure that both Tim, you, and Summer picked up on as well, these are lengthy answers. These are not one sentence. These are a healthy paragraph, or sometimes 4, 5, 6 healthy paragraphs.
Yeah, Joe is not good with the yes or no's.
Yes. One of the stories that I love to tell about these volumes is that when I went to Amy and said, this is what we want to do, and her first response was, why?
It's true.
You want me
to elaborate on that, Jacqueline?
Yeah,
shall I go on?
Ahead.
Yeah, I mean, to me, as a fan who, knows my way around some of these various places, on the Internet, I thought, most of this stuff is out there. But number one, it's not all out there because, as Jacqueline pointed out, some of this is chat transcripts. Some of these things are things that fans had, on disk that they had saved. These aren't anywhere anymore, not even on the Internet Wayback Machine or anything. And some of these things were devoid of their questions, and they needed to be put in context again. So really, the fact that you've got all of these things in one place, they've been categorized, they've been put back into context, it's such a valuable resource. And I would have been the last person to plunk down my money for it. And I can't tell you how excited I'm going to be to see this now, because having done all that work, I can tell you this is, like I say, the holy grail of canon for fans.
So for the people who are going to ask the questions, this is much, much more than just the compendium of JMSnews.com, which you can find on JMSnews.com.
Which is a very nice resource, but this is miles beyond that.
Okay.
I mean, if you just poke into that archive there, you'll see that there are many things that are devoid of their questions, and sometimes you can't really make sense out of them unless you do a lot of additional research. Well, we've done that for you.
And the cool thing is,
and also you can't ask that. You can't ask a question. You can't ask, how old is Chakar?
Yeah, you can't query that. Right.
And I tried, and it doesn't. This is no post found. And the answer to that is then asked and answered.
Yeah. Hey, can I add one thing? Can I add one thing, Jacqueline? I've got this great story of, you know, you think somebody who has been through the series 8 or 9 times, at least, you know, that's just since the DVDs. That doesn't count my tapes and things. And, you know, who's been involved in the fandom for so long and been so involved and read everything, done everything, that I would know everything. And you know, also I've read a lot of these various sites that archive this stuff. I actually had a moment of aha, or a moment of, I guess, WTF, if you want to call it that. And, you know, I had many such moments like that, but the one that really sticks out in my mind, and, you know, you think you can't teach an old fan new tricks, but you definitely can. I have my car, which you guys might remember from my last appearance on the podcast, the car that was wrapped for the Rangers premiere.
Mm-hmm.
And on that car, I have a Babylon 5 license plate, and it says "Am LaShock" without the O because we don't have enough digits in Pennsylvania. And one of the things I did when I first got that "Am LaShock" license plate is I very carefully cut out from black duct tape an apostrophe, and I put it between "Am La" and "Shock," and I was so proud of that, and it's all over the internet. There's pictures of it and stuff. And I'm doing the book, and I get to a couple of Minbari terms, and I get to Entel Zah and Am LaShock, and I'm seeing over and over and over and over again, Joe is posting this as hyphen, Am La hyphen Shock, Entel hyphen Zah, Issel hyphen Zah. And I said, no, this is clearly not right. I know it's not right because my license plate says it isn't right. So I dropped a note to Jan. Jan Schroeder is, I think, the mistress of spelling of all the terms. You know, she's the one who had to beat me over the head until I would accept that Pac-Mara has a small P. So I wrote to Jan, and I, you know, waited for my response, and I was very smug about it, and I thought for sure that I had caught JMS out in a mistake. She comes back, hyphen. So now I'm looking at my license plate, and my license plate is completely wrong, and I probably could have gotten a hyphen from Pennsylvania, so I'm terribly distressed about this, as you can imagine. But, yes, anyone can learn something from this, even me.
The one question that I came across where my brain just went up, I call shenanigans, was, did Valen have any children? How did he die? And then Joe's answer is, Valen did not have any children. And I went, whoa, wait a minute, when did that change? So I thought that was humorous. That was the one that really grabbed me. I'm like, where did that come from?
At this point, if it's okay with you guys, I'd like to bring Jason into the conversation. If you're still there, Jason?
What?
Wake up.
I am here.
He is there. This is Jason Davis.
He has always been there.
I have always.
He never leaves. He's on call 24 hours a day. Actually, that's actually not too far from the truth. Something that was really, really important to J. Michael Straczynski and to myself was that we had not just a professional fan, which we consider Amy a professional fan and Jan is a professional fan, but we have really more of a board that was going through all of these. So it was being seen by a minimum of 3 experts. And the other expert that's on board is Jason. And what Jason has the task of doing is, because we injured Amy, and she is now going in for surgery on a finger because of these books. Jason was already on board to work on these, but we had to sort of change a little bit of what he was doing. And now what he is doing is taking the first part of what Amy did and integrating the rest of the database in with her categories and making the whole thing come together as one. And one thing that Jason is like Amy and Jan. I mean, this is somebody that's been devoted to the show for decades. I want to say, is that right? Can we say decades yet? No, it's not quite.
Not quite.
And,
oh, he's
and,
a young
you know,
one.
Yeah, he's the baby. He's the puppy of the group. And I'm sorry, Jason. and his insights have also been fascinating as he's been working with this. And Jason, I would love for you to share what your experience has been.
Ooh, my experience. It's weird when it arrives in your inbox and you first look at it and you see the scope of the thing, and then you appreciate poor Amy's finger, and what it must have gone through to put all this together in this fashion. It's it's quite a hunk of knowledge. It's a big, massive thing. And going through it, I mean, like Amy, I discovered something, you know, whether it's, you know, Mimbares use hyphens and Narns use apostrophes or whatever it happens to be that you discover when you're going through it. There are a few things here and there, like I noticed the Valen had no children thing, and I was actually flipping through trying to find that entry, because I'm betting that probably changed with Sinclair leaving. I'm guessing. I'm not sure if that's the case, but yeah, it's so much information in one place, and it's organized in such a wonderfully concise way. You can just look at the table of contents, and you can go to whatever you want to look up specifically. But that's also the great problem with organizing it, is because, you know, Amy went through the first pass and she did one thing, and then I come back and I'm looking at it, and it's just a matter of, you know, everything is subjective to the editor. And there's this weird thing where you're trying to, I imagine it, Amy went absolutely bonkers trying to come up with the categories originally. I'm lucky in that I come along behind her and a lot of the categories are laid out and there's a structure to them that I can sort of follow. But just the whole notion of splitting things apart and organizing them and having to say, okay, does this go here or does this go here? It could drive you insane, but in a good way.
Well, I have to say that I've had to set this behind me a number of times having this conversation. Because
oh, I'm the same way. Yes.
Yeah.
When I've been working with this database now for 3 years, and every time I start to work with it, I find myself reading it, and I was like, okay, I got to get back to what I was doing. I mean, that's when I knew how interesting, what a great document that this was developing. When I had that effect, we actually had a problem with volume 11. Volume 11 was the volume that included Sleeping in Light and Joe's phenomenal 71-page introduction. And we had to send it through proofreading 6 times because the proofreaders break down into tiers and get so involved in the story they were missing things. So it was the first time in the history of the script books that we actually had to send, I had to have somebody not involved with the script books do the final proof, because I wasn't convinced that my proofers, they were saying this, that they were able to get, you know, that they weren't confident in their work either, and they would go and try to do it again. And this time, quote, they're going to be really focused, and then 20 minutes later, their mind just wandered off into the text. And we're having the same sort of experience with this that we had with that. And that, to me, is absolutely the best sign.
Well, how much in terms of proofreading, how much are you really having to do if really the goal is to chronicle and gather into one place all these news group posts and various posts? Wouldn't you rather just leave them as is?
Jason, help?
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, for the historical perspective, yeah. We're trying to leave them as to the point as they were. Obviously, like Jacqueline was saying earlier, there are bits and pieces where, you know, I'll be at such and such convention this weekend, which are not really relevant at this point, unless you are some obsessed person who wants to find out what conventions Joe went to where, and that's really Jan's territory, so we won't step on that. But, I mean, there are irrelevant things that we trim out for the sake of, you know, if Joe said, you know, the Rangers are a paramilitary organization, blah, 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 blah. And then he said, to your question, no.
Or like, and by the way, how about those Mets or something?
Yeah, and how about, or something like that, you know. Now, if he said Dodgers, we'd have to leave it in because Mr. Garibaldi is a fan of the Dodgers.
Right. Well, but there's one more thing that people aren't taking into account. Maybe it's because I did that. You had, especially in the early part of the show's existence, Joe would have these lengthy posts that would be one paragraph about one subject, another paragraph about another subject, three paragraphs that were about 12 subjects each, one where he had numbered answers to something, and you had to split them all out into their proper categories. So there was this massive amount of parsing of messages being done so that things would be where people were looking for them. Because it doesn't help someone if you have a question that says answers to various things, because no one's going to say what's the answer to a, you know, I want to get some random answers here. No, you need to look for the question about Jakar's pouch in the section about, you know, Narn biology or whatever. The question about, for the 1900th time, what does PBG stand for? In the weapons earth section, yeah. Phased plasma gun, by the way, yeah. Every time. Never changed for some reason.
Well, I thought it was pulse plasma. Hey,
no, phased. Now you had your moment
of
WTF.
Yeah, that might be right.
Although the number of shots a PPG has did change.
Well, also, there's several PPGs. There's the rifle form, and there's the pistol form. So,
true.
Yeah.
Now you understand why our office meetings are so much fun. You know, when we have conference calls, rather, when we have Amy and Jan and Jason or some combination thereof on the phone together, they're like, well, I thought it was 18 shots per PPG. No, because on page 14 it says 24. It's like, you know, it's a lot of fun to watch. That's all I can say. I'd like to we haven't really talked about what it looks like in the layout, and I want to briefly explain that because we keep talking about the categories and stuff. We have major... We have topics, and then we have categories. So a topic would be characters. A category would be Jakar, as an example. And in the Jakar category, you guys don't have this in yours, but in the master database, there are at least 35 fan questions in a row, starting with the earliest, in this case 1992, to the most recent, which was 2008. And we've done this chronological approach, obviously, on all what I think will probably end up being between about 100 topics. Jason, does that sound about right? You're the last one who's worked with it, 100 topics at least.
Yeah.
And there's something really special, and I'm curious if Summer, if you and Tim had this experience about actually reading them in their chronological order, because you actually, in certain cases, you actually get to see the development of things.
I was going to ask you that, if when you're dealing with the various categories, if you were going to keep them in a chronological order, because that was one
Absolutely.
Of the things that, okay, because yeah. that was, as much as anything, what was fascinating was to watch things change and develop. And
Very
I recall,
much, yes.
You know, a lot of it, especially at the pilot, I was surprised going through this how many posts there were about the pilot while the pilot was in production.
Yep.
Well,
even something like... Sorry.
No, go ahead, Amy.
Even something like watching JMS and the early posts refer to the Shadow Men, and then all of
yes.
a sudden somewhere it changes to the Shadows.
Right.
It's a very interesting historical document, and it's fun to go through it from the beginning. I mean, it's just fascinating.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that I think... Did I read it in here? And I can't put my finger on it right now, but he does comment, JMS comments that posts in the news group and online that he answered, you know, for him the process seemed to be, it was helpful to help him flesh out some of those details. It made him think about things that he didn't necessarily or hadn't previously given thought to.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And it was as much an opportunity for him to make some determinations in his own mind about what he wanted to do with the story, not to take, you know, there's a post in there about using story ideas. they couldn't do that.
Story ideas. Yeah.
You know.
Well, he always called it a conversation. You know, he never said he was lecturing us about it. It was always two-sided. So, you know, I think it's great that he got, you know, areas and avenues of thought from what was being discussed on the various, you know, in Genie, CompuServe, all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah.
And one thing we're doing now that Jason is knee-deep in is the part of the database where he's answering general questions about religion and politics and so forth, and what we're doing now is integrating those in with the, obviously the whole book is Babylon 5, but the Babylon 5-related posts that relate to that particular topic, because we thought it was a really good way for fans to be able to connect the dots between his, you know, personal philosophy and worldview and how it influenced the show, which is where things are the same and where they're different. Jason, oh, I'm sorry, have you started on that part yet? I just said you had. I know that you have it.
Yes, I am. I'm embarking on that at the moment.
Actually, what Jason has been working on for the last 2 days that you guys don't have is the Crusade section.
Oh. Yes, the Crusade section.
I know, Summer.
Okay, so how...
Hand her a plastic paper bag.
Okay, I'm cool. Now, this is the Crusade section for the questions or for the actual full book?
It's a Crusade topic.
Okay.
So it gets its own topic, you know, and under that topic you'll have something along the lines of TNT interference, and then you'll have all the characters and so on and so forth.
Okay. How?
Approximately 125-ish questions and answers in the Crusade topic.
Huh. Okay, so how big are these books going to be if you're only squeezing in five of these for these questions?
Well, this is the question that I ask myself every day. Now, the books are going to be as physically big as we can get them, which is anytime you go over 400 pages, you start to invite binding issues. No fault of Cathay Press, that's just the way that bookbinding goes, the way that we have it done. So, but we originally thought it was going to be six books, and it's really important to JMS that we always keep everything very affordable to the fans, and that we always have everything content rich and so forth. So we know we've got it down to five, and we're now shooting with a different layout to see if we can get it to four. Exactly. Nothing is being cut out. I want to emphasize that. It's all with font sizes and layout and so forth to see if we can't just get it a little bit tighter. So the series will be four, five, or six volumes. We don't know yet. But it will be, what I can be sure of, it will be over 4,000 questions and answers.
Wow.
Now, as far as the organization of these four or five books goes, will the books themselves be running in a chronological fashion, or how are you planning to break out the various topics and categories amongst those volumes?
Well, it changes every day, and I'd like to note that today is March. This is the version it is as of March 4th. And, you know, you think you're going to do it one way, and you don't know until you see it. In fact, because of J. Michael Straczynski's concern of making sure we get this to the smallest number of volumes possible, we actually thought we were going to be releasing this around March 28th, and it is going to be delayed by 1 week to April 1st. It's not an April Fool's joke. It really is April 1st. Debut. But JMS being JMS always likes to, you know, thank the fans for their patience. So I will say, I'm sorry, anybody who's listening, it's another bait, but on March 14th, we are going... I think that's a Saturday. I think I just said the wrong date. It is a Saturday, and it is the wrong date. On March 17th, we will be sending out an email announcing that April 1st date, and in that email, we will be linking to something for the fans for free that while many fans have seen, most have not and will be ecstatic. Jason, is that fair?
I think that's very fair.
Okay.
Wow, I don't even know what that is.
Okay.
So let me get back to the question about, you asked about, how we're going to lay it out. We're not exactly sure yet. The only way that makes sense is that we keep the topics in alphabetical order. So, yes, Summer, it's a good shot that Crusade will be in Volume 1. And they will be page numbered accordingly. So if, let's say, there are four books of 400 pages, volume 2 would start on page 401, and volume 3 would start on, somebody help me with the math?
801.
Thank you.
801.
And 1201 and so forth.
Gotcha. Well, I have a question that I know is going to open up a can of worms for you guys. This is an index that a lot of people would love to have in a digital format so they could actually search on some keywords for them. Are there any chance of this being out there as a PDF or a Kindle? I mean, I'd pay for it in a digital format.
Oh, sure, and we would love to do it. The only way we can do this in a digital format is something we're talking about right now, is to do a section in a digital format, a topic. We can't do the whole book as a PDF. However, Summer, I channeled you, and what we are probably going to do is to have a PDF of every question. So you can search for the question. It will tell you exactly what page number to go to in the book.
A searchable, a digital index to the actual books.
Correct. Uh-huh. For that reason. Because it is going to be so many pages. So you can type in Jakar age, and it will take you to and say volume, making this up, people, volume 2, topic Jakar, page, if it's volume 2, like 525. So you will, and that will, like, that would be something that would be released after the fact. And I just have to make sure that all the attorneys sign off on it.
Okay. Now,
that's our intention.
How long will these books be available? Will they have a time limit on them, or will they just be indefinite, like the quote book and the chronologies?
That has not yet been decided, but it will be decided before they're released.
Okie doke.
I can't imagine that they would be a limited edition.
Yeah, that's, you know, something like this is...
It just doesn't make any sense.
Right.
It doesn't make any sense, yeah. Yeah, but what will be limited is it will be like every other book that we've released. The discount will only be the first 7 days, and then it will never be discounted again. What we like to refer to in-house is the debut discount.
So then at that point, will it be a volume of, per month of release?
Yes, thank you. It will be, when they're released, it will be one every month consecutively. And that will be a guarantee because they will have already been in production at the point that we released the first one, so we can guarantee the subsequent release dates.
Wow, one a month. I better schedule my surgery on the other hand.
You better hope she keeps it to four volumes because then that takes care of both feet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is that when we release the books, there will, just like we did with the chronology book, there were sample pages. There will be plenty of sample pages for these books as well. It's really important to J. Michael Straczynski that, you know, the fans have a very good idea of whatever it is that they're buying.
Good.
You know, he was a young fan once, too, and he knows that this is hard-earned money that's buying them. And the other side of that is, you know, everything, I always want to remind people, everything we offer has a 30-day, hassle-free, no questions asked. We even pay return shipping guarantee. And that, by the way, we will pay return shipping, includes international orders. Okay, now everyone's really quiet.
No, I was like, you know, I can't think of anything else that some of the more nitpickier fans could complain about then.
And no, we really want, you know, always email us at help@Babylon5Scripts. But there's no way that J. Michael Straczynski would offer things to his fans if that weren't the term.
This is true.
That's sure. The only fair way to do it, yeah.
Of course, on the other hand, these volumes, and especially this one, I don't know why anybody would want to send it back once they just open it up.
We doubt it, too. And we have, on some volumes, a zero return. Unheard of for that reason. But we always just like to remind people that if they're unhappy with the book for any reason, email help@Babylon5Scripts.com with your order number. That's the only thing we need. Very often we'll get what they ate for lunch the day they bought the book, but not the order number. And that's the only piece of data that's critical. And we take care of it from there.
And they have to know what PPG stands for.
Hayes plasma gun.
And how many shots does a PPG have?
I don't know. Which page are we looking at?
I was unconscious by that point. I don't really know.
I'm going to go with 12 because he says that three times.
Whatever.
There you go.
Now, there was a big fight would not be the right word, showdown between Jason Davis and Jan M. Schroeder, we refer to her as the other JMS, who, about the spelling of shadows, Jason? Would you like to fill them in on that?
Are we going to bring that up? whether or not to capitalize shadows.
Well, yeah, you can capitalize it.
Fans always do. JMS rarely does.
Really?
Yep.
But as it happens, capitalized is correct.
Well, how did you make that determination then?
I called.
See, but I seem to remember.
It was 30 minutes back and forth between the two of them on this. And then finally it was like, you know, there's a really easy way to settle this. And it was clarified that when it was ever used in lowercase, you might have seen that in the scripts or during one of his online conversations. In an informal sense, he would sometimes use the smaller s. But any time there was an official publication of a book, for example, a magazine article that he wrote, it was always uppercase.
I know he talked about this at a con somewhere, and my suspicion is he was fan-wanking it, like, in the moment himself, just because someone asked the question, but I think I remember him saying something about how that's not really their name, we can't pronounce their name, and right. So since it's not really their name, it doesn't have to be capitalized. But I like it better capitalized, so
yeah, I like
I'm
it
happy.
Better capitalized, too. But I have heard that same thing or read it somewhere, that that's just a reference.
Yeah.
But still,
if you're referring to
a group of some kind, I'm trying to think of an appropriate example. Technically Germans call themselves Deutschlanders.
Right.
It's the English and the rest of the world that refers to them as Germans, but Germans are still capitalized, even though it's not the name that they call themselves.
Right. That's an excellent point. And I think that the Chicago Manual of Style would tell us that the shadows should be capitalized if they were telling us that. So.
Indeed.
Now, is the full name of the shadow spelled out anywhere in there? All 10,000 characters?
No.
No?
Sorry.
I had to ask.
But Pakmara is not capitalized.
Correct.
Because they're just difficult that way.
Maybe they
and Nagrath is also not capitalized.
Correct.
I noticed that too.
That's very good.
Yeah, I noticed that as well. Going,
we can use you.
I don't have any more questions.
I don't either.
I'll tell you something funny. Since you mentioned Nagrath, it's amazing how many questions were asked about a character who was so infrequently seen.
Yeah.
Even long after he was gone.
Yep.
Whatever
fans
happened.
Fans are funny.
Oh. Well, the street date is April 1 for the first volume. Do we have a price yet?
$39.95 before the debut discount, $29.95 on the debut discount.
Same as the others. Awesome.
Yeah. Same as the others.
Tim?
Thank you for giving us an opportunity to introduce it to the fans.
Ooh, well, thank you for giving us the opportunity to get a sneak peek at it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's one of those things where we're talking about paint drying to a certain degree for people who haven't seen it. And I know that there's been a lot of speculation as to what it was that we were up to. And a couple of fans in your chat room guessed pretty darn close and as to what it was. But to hear what it was, to hear what it is, like Amy, our experience with Amy, to hear what it is and then to see what it is are two very different experiences.
True.
Yeah.
And now that it's revealed, I can go back into the news group and school all these people who are still talking about these many very old items. Now I can talk about it.
Yeah. Right. Although, you know what, knowing fans like I know fans, I'm not sure that it would necessarily squash any
nope.
No, but arguments. I can lord my knowledge over them, so there.
There will always be something to argue about. If there weren't, would we really be fans? So
true. Joe always says that he wants to start bar fights.
Wow. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing?
with his writing.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Just walk into a bar.
And now with these books, you'll have something to bludgeon people with during the bar fight.
Cool. Well,
touché.
Thank you very, very much for joining us today to tell everybody what's coming up with the next new project, something to tide me over till I get the real Crusade books on my hands. Once again, March 17th, keep an eye out for the freebies. April 1st, you'll be able to start getting the book. Order it early, order it often. I don't think you'll be disappointed.
Order it if you look at the sample pages. We'll list a large group of the questions that are in that first volume. And if it makes sense for you to get it, by all means, be our guest.
All righty then. We'll be right back.
You know what the first rule of flying is? Love.
You're listening to The Signal.
Well, we hope you are.
We're back with Season 5.
Shiny. Must be bad guys.
Could be bumpy.
Always is.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
And this year,
we're going further than we ever have before
to bring you the best articles,
interviews,
news,
and reviews from in and around the world of Joss Whedon's Firefly and Serenity.
I love this ship. I have from the first moment I saw it.
What you care about is the ships, and mine's the nicest.
It's love, in point of fact.
She loves this ship.
If you love Firefly, you need to listen to The Signal.
With new writers, new ideas, new content,
and loads of your favorite regular segments.
Helping to keep Firefly and Serenity alive in the hearts of browncoats everywhere.
We hold. Hold till I get back.
Hell with this. I'm gonna live.
The Signal.
Still flying in 2009.
Join us at
www.serenityfirefly.com.
We're still flying.
That's not much.
It's enough.
The Signal.
Season 5.
What was that?
And now everyone knows what to expect. And what we have had to keep quiet about for the past 2 weeks.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, one thing that we didn't mention during the interview was the reason that the original idea was they were going to send us these previews, and we were going to unseal them live on the show.
Right.
And then Captain Jacqueline realized that if they did that, it would just be a lot of dead air because we'd be so absorbed reading the thing.
Yep. I totally understand what Amy was saying. Amy was like, yeah, who's going to want a book about this? And then you start flipping through it, and you're like, oh, wait a second, hang on. And you just get pulled right on in.
Yeah.
Like seriously, on our draft, page 62, the question that says, does Valen have any children? And Straczynski's answer is no, Valen didn't have any children. And I'm like, where's the rest of this thread so I can find
out? Yeah, I was going to say, what's the date that it shows there? Because these are also dated.
The date is, the date on that question is August 1996.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So that was.
That's fairly late into
that's
the.
That's really late. That's like into.
See, now we have to correlate that with, why can't I think of the title, with the Dreaming.
Atonement.
Yes, Atonement, where that's the big reveal there, where Dukat tells Delenn that she's a child of Valen.
Mm-hmm. So did he change that in Season 3 when he sent Valen, when Sinclair went back to become Valen, or did he change that later?
Well, no, because thing is, one of the points is that there are Minbari with facial hair, and now this is where you got to read this book, because I know I recall reading somewhere that after it was revealed that Sinclair was Valen, that those Minbari who do have facial hair, that's an indication that they've got human
genetic makeup.
Hmm. Yeah. So I'm waiting. I'm looking forward to seeing the end, you know, the finished version of this, because I want to follow that thread. Like, where did JMS change his mind and that, you know, that Valen did have children? Because that was a whole big plot point. Valen and his family had to leave Minbar under hurried circumstances.
Yes.
So, yeah, I think people are going to, the fans like us who need to find other hobbies are going to be entertained by these books.
Yeah, and it's a time sink, I promise you that.
And we got a small snippet. I mean, this here, this little thing is not even 200 pages.
Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. We've done enough teasing. Like she said, March 17th, look for your email, go to the website, babylon5scripts.com, check out your freebies, order your books, which should be available on April 1st, no joke.
Yeah.
And that just means I have to wait until the end of the year, until fall, to get my Crusade books.
Patient.
No, I'm going to find my own apocalypse box, damn it. Alrighty then. Well, that will do it for this episode. I'm done. Are you done?
I'm done.
Okay. If you want to send in your own comments, that email address is babylonpodcast@gmail.com. Come to the website, babylonpodcast.com. Check out all the little discussions and arguments that go on in between the shows. We have forums, farpointforums.com. Look for the Babylon Podcast entry. Help support this show. And now that it's starting to get warm here in Arizona, pay the electric bills.
We need air conditioning bad.
Well, you should have been here in Virginia the last couple of days. It was about like a refrigerator in my house.
6 inches of snow.
And no power.
No snow. Oh, no snow and no power. That's bad. Yeah. Anyway, click the big orange donate button on the website. Keep us all happy. And if you want to leave your own voicemail, try to get in your call in between Gary. That phone number is 206-338-2259. That's 206-338-2259.
The year that godzillion internet posts fell upon us all.
And we'll see you next time on the other side of the forest.